You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 30. It's team selection time as Mark, the FPL General, reveals his potential wildcard team with a double game week fixture announcement in mind. My name is Joe. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, Joe. Looking forward to getting back into the swing of things FPL-wise. Wildcarded at the start of the international break on the Sunday, and I don't think I've barely touched it since then, got no price changes, absolutely nothing. So still managed to have a nice quiet week, despite the wildcard being active, but now it's time to get down to business. We've got the fixtures, so planning can commence.
Yes, so just to remind people, the way we were just talking just before we came on air, lots of people have got different strategies at the moment, depending on what chips they've got left. So the path that you are on is you have your free hit remaining. You are wildcarding this week and you have your bench boost remaining. So you can bench boost in 34 or 37. You can free hit in 34 or 37. There's different ways we can go. And we're going to explore one of those options, which might not be talked about much in content this week, which is a bench boost in 34, which is quite handy for people like me who aren't going to be using a chip then, just to work out what sort of players that those free hitting or bench boosting will have in that team. Just also a reminder to do press that like button. It does help us out. And also do subscribe as well so you can keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. But yeah, I've got that path right for you, haven't I, Mark?
Yeah, so the wildcard is active and the free hit and the bench boost are available. So it's just the first decision that I need to make is when do those chips get played?
Yeah.
So kind of historically in FPL, I've always tried to play the bench boost as close as possible to the wild card. So that's going to be the starting point for the video today. We'll see what that looks like. And then we'll see if whether that's likely or not. And if the original plan was always kind of free hit 34. Mm. So we'll explore both options. And hopefully by the end of it, I'll have a conclusion and I can start planning which players to actually pick then.
Right, yeah. And as Mark sort of explains what he's doing and the sort of options he's got, I'll be coming at it from a different perspective. I free hit in game week 29. Obviously, that went brilliantly. I'm actually 6 points up on the deal. Woohoo. And, so I'm looking, my strategy, the path that I am on is to move into 34 using transfers. I already got six double game weekers already, so I'm okay. And move into there and dead end in game week 34. And then in game week 35, emerge resplendent like a beautiful FPL butterfly planning for wildcard and then bench boost in 37 and then game week 38 have a nice cup of tea and finish off. What I'm going to do now, I'm just going to, before we talk about double game week 34 fixtures, I'm just going to remind people of something we talked about last week, which is the general fixtures from now up until 33, so the next four, and they show that Chelsea are a very good team to invest in, but they don't have a double in 34. Bournemouth are a good team to invest in. Good fixtures. Everton, Crystal Palace, Luton, Manchester United. Chelsea have got Burnley, Manchester United, Sheffield United and Everton. Fulham as well. No doubles at all, though. Liverpool, they do double in 34. So they're handy as well if you want to just, you don't want to use a chip in 34. You can just go through. They got Brighton and Sheffield United at home next. This is, that's captain territory. Manchester United, Crystal Palace. Arsenal, interesting. Terrible fit. They're low down on the season ticker in terms of difficulty because they face Man City. But game week 31, they got Luton at home, Brighton afterwards, then Aston Villa. So an okay run of fixtures there. That's important because Arsenal also have a double game week in 34. So that's the situation we're there now. And now, this is what we learned over the weekend. Double game week 34 fixtures. So you probably, I've got the graphic up on the screen. So do you want to just go through those fixtures, who's playing who, and for the double game weeks, and which ones you like the look of in terms of the fixtures?
Yeah, so we have finally got some confirmation on double game week 34. I'll just run through the teams that do have two fixtures. We've got Crystal Palace, two home games, West Ham and Newcastle, so that's attractive. Arsenal face Wolves away, Chelsea at home. Sheffield United, not going to be much interest there, but they face Burnley and Manchester United. Liverpool, attractive, short-term and for the double. They have Fulham away and Everton away. That looks good. Everton have a double as well, Forest at home and Liverpool at home. So one good fixture, not one not so good fixture. We also have Bournemouth, who will play Villa and Wolves, two away fixtures. Again, people who are maybe not wildcarding or not free-hitting might already have two or three Bournemouth assets. So that's good news that they have a double. And then finally, you've got Wolves as well, who play Arsenal at home and Bournemouth at home. So to me, it's quite a spicy, exciting double game week. And it does make a free hit quite attractive, I think, because you could definitely have some fun with it there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm looking at those fixtures there for 34. Yeah, Liverpool and Arsenal, obviously good anyway. And they've got pretty good fixtures, I think, for this from attacking and indeed defensive point of view. Crystal Palace are the most interesting because they will tempt people, whether they're free hitting, bench boosting, or just like me using transfers. I've already got Anderson, so I'm quite happy with that. But there are other Palace defenders. Eze will be popular. West Ham and Newcastle at home, they're pretty good from an attacking point of view, definitely. But yeah, I'm less keen on Everton, Bournemouth. Bournemouth okay, but Solanke, beyond Solanke, I'm not that interested. But what is interesting is not who's double game weeking, it's who's single game weeking. And that's Manchester United. They've got Sheffield United at home. So me as a Garnacho owner, others might have Hoyland. I don't think it's beyond the realms of having a single game week on a free hit or just indeed playing them. I'm certainly going to be playing Garnacho this week. And Man City, a really good fixture, I think, away at Brighton. Brighton are better at home. Haaland against Brighton's defence, though, that's tempting. That's very tempting to play. And there's some teams with all right fixtures there, but definitely Manchester United and Man City, I think, sort of stand out. So is that playing on your mind a bit, whatever you do for 34, that there's these single game week players that are actually pretty good this week?
Yeah, and I think Manchester United in particular, because, again, if you want to try and bench boost near the wild card, whether you wild card in 30 or 31, which I think is two attractive weeks to do so, you've got Manchester United at home to Sheffield United. So you could bench boost absolutely fine with a Garnacho, maybe a Harry Maguire if he's fit, you know, even an Onana in a single fixture, you know, if you want him longer term as well. So there is definitely scope here to go both routes. And we should, of course, mention as well, Tottenham is the big factor here because they don't play in 34. And that was unexpected from what I remember. So, you know, I brought in quite a few Tottenham players before the wild cards. I was considering automatically losing quite a few of them. But now, if I fall on a free hit strategy, then maybe it makes sense to keep the Tottenham guys and then I can just, you know, deal with without them on the free hit in 34. So, yeah, I'm still I'm on the fence about which way to go.
Yeah, that sort the Tottenham element to it certainly does favour a free hit if you've got it in 34 rather than sort of working towards a bench boost. Because Tottenham are a team you want now, really. They've got Luton at home. Then they've got West Ham away. Then Nottingham Forest at home. So that's a really nice run of three. Then they've got Newcastle away, a bit tougher. But certainly the next three, the likes of Son, Richarlison, perhaps Adoghi, Porro as well, but probably mainly on the attacking point of view, they're teams you want. So because they're not playing in 34, but then they've got a couple of more double game weeks to come, 37 and some, we'll look at these in a second, 31 of 35 and 36. Tottenham will double as well. So they're a team you really want. So they're a good team to invest in now, and then you free hit them out, and then you just magically come back to them in 35. And by the same token, those wildcarding in 35 want to invest in Tottenham as well. So, yeah, what are you going to do? Well, we'll come to your wildcard draft in a minute, but just basically with Tottenham, they look good to go now. And if you're free hitting in 34, they look good for the rest of the season, really.
Yeah, I think Tottenham are going to play a big part in my decision. And I think if you simplify it, and if Tottenham are going to be a big part of your decision, I think it makes sense just to wildcard with two or three of them now and then free hit them out. And there's a couple of other factors as well, which we'll talk about soon, about players you could have which are great now, maybe not so great in 34, and then great afterwards. You know, Chelsea come to mind there. So, you know, I really like Son, brought him in recently, want to keep him. I've had Porro most of the season when he's been fit, and I know he's not as good as he's been previously, but, you know, you look at the fixtures, you look at the potential for attacking returns, and I just like owning Tottenham players. You know, I expect him to finish the season strongly. Mm-hmm. You always back him to score goals, which just feels quite warm, you know, having a couple of Tottenham attackers. So, yeah, you know, I had Madison recently, but I'd be very open to Richarlison now that he seems to be back to fitness, you know, playing a position. He was very good beforehand. So, yeah, I really like Tottenham for the running. And I like them even more if you're going to free hit in 34.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember a season where I haven't got and either captained or considered captaining Harry Kane on game week 38. He is always such a reliable pick. Obviously, he's not there now, but we're hoping Son and Richarlison can replicate. Well, I say that, it's a tall order to replicate Harry Kane's record-breaking form, but we shall see. Okay, so we know double game week 34. We know, obviously, the fixtures to come. Here's what we sort of know. So I'll run through these. We know the teams that have a double game week to rearrange. And we know what their likely fixtures will be in 37. I say likely because you never know. But Chelsea face Nottingham Forest and Brighton away. It's not bad. Not bad. Away, but not good fixtures. Tottenham have got Burnley and Man City at home. That could be interesting. Man City, Fulham and Tottenham away. Pretty good fixtures. Brighton, Newcastle and Chelsea. The Chelsea is at home as well. And there's a rivalry between the two sides now. Not quite the same as Brighton Palace, but getting there. Manchester United have Arsenal and Newcastle at home. So that could be quite good, especially towards the end of the season. You would imagine Arsenal and probably Newcastle and Manchester United have all got something to play for, a European place, or indeed in Arsenal's case, winning the whole league. And Newcastle have that Brighton and Manchester United game in 37. So these look pretty good from a wildcard point of view now. You want to be sort of preparing for these fixtures, really, if you're going to be bench boosting. And for those like me who's using a wildcard in 35-ish, obviously, this is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at these, focusing on these teams. But I don't want to miss out on Arsenal because they've got a good game at 38 fixture. I don't want to miss out on Mo Salah either. So I think Salah and Saka may stay. Meanwhile, Chelsea versus Spurs, that's got to be rearranged, probably 35 or 36. It's going to be one of those. So looking at these, this is a lot for you to consider. It's not a lot for me to consider as I'm wildcarding 35. I don't have to worry about it until then. Then I'm going to worry. But you've got to think about this now. So how? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not straightforward because, you know, when you look at 34 and 37, and when you do have a bench boost and a free hit, you know, you can look at it in a lot of different ways. And, you know, you can look at 37 and think, right, that looks like a great bench boost. But again, close to the end of the season, could a free hit be fun that week? But then if you're on a free hit in 37, could there be some rotation? Could it be more dangerous to do so? And overall, yeah, overall, it's not straightforward, but the more I look at it, the more I think about it and talk about it, that overall, I want to try and not focus too much on the bench boost, because I always say I don't like the chip and I don't want it to influence my decisions too much. So I feel like you can get a lot more from a free hit chip. So that's a question of which game week looks more exciting for that chip. And I feel like it's probably 34. Now, I know a lot of people who are not wildcarding will already have, you know, double Arsenal defence, stuff like that, maybe a couple of Liverpool. They've got the Bournemouth guys. But there's a lot of scope, I think, to be different in 34 with a free hit. And it's nice. It'll be nice to be able to cherry pick from the Arsenals and Liverpools in 34 because we'll have injuries. Mm-hmm. We'll have more information. We'll know Trent's status. We'll know Alisson's status. You know, you could have a Kelleher if Alisson's still out, for example. There's still a lot of unknowns. You know, you could go for an Odegaard or a Havertz or maybe even a Jesus if he's back in the picture. So I always feel like you've got to remember the landscape will look different when we actually get to 34. So that has me leaning towards free hit 34, cherry pick the best assets from those teams at that time. And then not worry too much about the bench boost in 37. Now, of course, I'll have a sprinkling of players in my wildcard for 37. But again, it already tick, you know, Chelsea and Tottenham tick the boxes here because they've got the doubles beforehand as well. And you've got cheap players. Cole Palmer's still very cheap. You know, you've got Malagusto, you've got Petrovic in goal. And Tottenham have, you know, relatively cheap midfielders also. And again, you know, Garnacho here for 37, perfect for a bench boost and perfect as a first sub before then. So again, probably I've, you know, put a draft together for this with bench boost in mind, but having looked at it, I think I prefer free hit 34, bench boost 37.
Okay. Yeah, also Ansi Gordon at Newcastle. So I've spelled Newcastle wrong in here, so apologies for that. Just did this table very quickly this morning. Newcastle, good fixtures, I think, from an attacking point of view. And Anthony Gordon, who was rumoured to be out for 6 months, and then despite England losing to Brazil, I thought Anthony Gordon looked sensational, actually, down the wing, looked very much at home and one of England's best players. So he's certainly in form. But I've mentioned him because him, Palmer and Garnacho. So if you have those three in a midfield, you can still have Haaland. You can even still have Salah. No problems. You can start looking at Trent as well. You can start moving towards that. So you can go for something like Palmer and Garnacho and Richarlison, and then sort of in game week 37, you can either decide, you think, I like one of Richarlison's fixtures against Burnley, but the City one I don't like. Maybe I prefer Anthony Gordon. You can do things like that. You can save money and you've got transfers each week to do it. So it seems that the double game weeks, we were engaged managers, so we knew they were coming, but they seem to have fallen kindly for a whole bunch of different strategies as well, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing, no matter what position you're in. You know, there's people out there with very few chips left. You know, some people don't have any. I think everything is manageable. You know, you've got a lot of information now, so you've got plenty of time to start preparing. And yeah, I think we often fall into trap as well if we are wildcarding. We forget that we do have those free transfers. You know, so you can, you know, if there's a player you don't really want to sell on a wildcard, you want to keep them a wee bit longer, you know, you can. You know, Watkins is a good example. He's got a good fixture this week. I'm not sure to keep him for that and then sell him afterwards, but, you know, you've got the free transfer. So it's all about getting the balance right.
Yep, certainly. You asked for potentially a bench boost in 34, but I think this also applies for if you're free hitting in 34. It also applies to people like me who are just making transfers for 34. We all know the good players like Salah and Saka in the attack. Darwin would be good. He's on 8 yellows, though, worth noting. But in defence and goalkeepers, it's quite tricky, especially if you're free hitting, bench boosting. You want to get good players here. So I've done a list of attacking defenders for double game week 34. So I've only got those that are playing twice. So this is handy for bench boosting that week, also handy for free hitting. So I'll go down the list and you can sort of tell me whether you're interested or not, and especially for whichever strategy. 8 Noria, Wolves. 2 home games, one against Bournemouth, that's nice. One against Arsenal, though, that could be tricky. But he has created 20 chances this season so far. He's had 9 shots inside the box, has scored, has got a couple of assists. His expected goal involvement per 90 is quite minimal. A lot of these players are. They're all, I think, Alexander-Arnold with 0.35 is the highest we've got here. But yeah, 8 Nori, taking 6 corners. He's got 3 clean sheets. Interested in him?
Yeah, definitely. You know, regardless of strategy, I think 8 Nori looks good in 34 because, you know, we've been saying all season it's hard to find clean sheets. So you're going after defenders with attacker potential. Aitner, he's got that. You know, attacking returns, I think, in the most recent fixture. Had a few in the FA Cup as well, I seem to remember. Just pops up in good positions, you know, takes a few corners. You know, not that many, to be fair. But, yeah, and I like what Gary O'Neill's been doing with Wolves this season. Mm. Maybe tailed off a wee bit recently, but, you know, there is a lot of injuries in attack there. So, you know, at 4.5 million, he is absolutely fine. And he could even be used, you know, if you're wildcard in 30 or 31, he's someone you could bring in, you know, with 34 in mind, and you could maybe rotate him with someone else who's got good fixtures in the meantime. So, yeah, he's definitely in the conversation.
Worth also noting that after Aston Villa in game week 31 to 33 fixture, pretty good for Wolves. Got Burnley away, West Ham at home, and Nottingham Forest away. So, Aitnori is good to go now if you wanted to wildcard him in, for example. Very fieldable there, and a handy player for bench boost or free hit. If you were using it in 34. Next name is Alexander Arnold. I flagged him up. He's 8.5, injured currently, but should be back soon. Created a whopping 53 chances, 8 shots inside the box, 5 assists, 2 goals. These are great stats for a defender or a player that's listed defender. 7 clean sheets as well. He's taken 54 corners. He faces Fulham and Everton away. I'm going to presume you're interested in him, but you need to know when he's back.
Yeah, and I guess the concern, just having a quick look here about the turnaround as well, when we do get to 34, I think it will be, is it Sunday, Thursday, Sunday possibly for Liverpool? So yeah, I need to double check that afterwards. But basically, you know, I will be slightly concerned about Trent. Even when he is back, will he start every single fixture? And with that in mind, I think Salah and Darwin will be pretty locked in for me for 34. And then again, the attraction of the free hit is it gives you the option. If Trent looks secure, you go there. If not, Luis Diaz, someone else, you know, Bradley, Kelleher, if other players are not fit, et cetera, et cetera. So Trent, of course, will be in the mix, but I don't think he's a player. He won't be in my wild card because, you know, currently injured. So it's a wait and see. It'll be either, and again, I probably won't be leaving cash aside for him either. So again, it's another factor that's pushing me towards free hit instead of bench boost.
You mentioned Kelleher there. We'll talk about goalkeepers in a sec, but obviously he is around the 4 million mark. There's no word about Alisson. It seems to be long term. I did notice him in the stands at the Brazil-England game. So he's fit enough to walk and sit down. But I don't know when he's going to be back. And there's no prognosis for it. It's not like, oh, we hope to have him back next month or anything. We just don't know. And that says we might be getting Kelleher for 34, which will be interesting. But nevertheless, if you don't want to spend the 8.5 on Alexander Arnold, presuming he's fit, and you don't want to go risk Kelleher and Alisson coming back, there are a couple more options here. And I'll just read out their stats, see if you're interested. Robertson has got a goal and assist, created 35 chances, and he's taken 49 corners. Once again, obviously got Fulham and Everton. And Van Dijk as well, 6.5, was in my team. I did get rid of him recently, and it's not that I regret it. It was just, I think there was a blank game week, so but he did well for me. He's done well for me. He's always threatening to score or does score, and he scored 2 goals, 2 assists, 27 shots inside the box. That's huge for a defender, and he's had 8 clean sheets. So you know he's a mainstay there. No corners, he doesn't take them. He's on the end of them. Hopefully. So yeah, would you go for either of those two, perhaps?
Yeah, Van Dijk is of interest. Robertson feels like he's not as secure for minutes as he was in previous seasons. And Van Dijk, you don't ever have any concerns, especially when Liverpool are going in for a title. He's going to play every single minute. And Van Dijk's one of those players in FPL where I wish I could own him more often, but it's just his price and the other Liverpool assets always take priority. So I didn't own him in the last double game week, and I'm pretty sure he scored. You know, centre-backs just seem to have this knack, you know, of turning up in doubles, like Zabarni, who will probably never score again in his career. Hurt me that week. So Van Dijk is definitely of interest. You know, I mentioned, again, I'm talking a little bit free hit 34 here, which tells you where I'm leaning. I think Salah and Darwin will already be in the squad, you know, for a couple of weeks beforehand. If we get to 34 and there's any doubts over Alisson, Kelleher, Trent, Diaz, if you're not sure on minutes and there's concerns, you just get Van Dijk. You plug him in on a free hit for 2 games. You hope for a clean sheet and an attack in return, and then you you go to someone else then afterwards, back to your normal team with cheaper defenders. So I think Van Dijk has a very good chance of being in my squad if I do free hit in 34, but not before then, just because it's tricky to fit the big hitters in attack when you have a Van Dijk.
Next player on this, I like for both a bench boost and possibly as a free hit differential, it's Tarkowski at Everton. It's only 4.6. Very benchable if you're just using transfers to get him and don't want to play him every week, which you probably won't. But he's had 19 shots inside the box. Once again, that's pretty huge for especially a cheap centre-back. Created 17 chances, has scored, has assisted, 8 clean sheets, which is a surprise because that's the same as Van Dijk. Nottingham Forest at home and Liverpool at home there. You mentioned Zabani, you mentioned Van Dijk's goals. This is the sort of week where if you were going to make a differential punt, Tarkowski, Everton, goal. That's all you need. A goal, a couple of bonus, and, you know, that would be pretty good return for a 4.6 player, I think.
Yeah, Tarkowski's one of the best centre-backs when it comes to attack and threat. You know, almost every corner and set-piece is aimed at him. And he's got a good knack of getting to them as well. And it's often just kind of a knock back into dangerous areas. So there's assist potential, maybe not directly always goal. So I do like him. And again, probably like him more if it's just for 1 week on a free hit rather than getting him in now and leaving him. But again, he's benchable at 4.6. Mm-hmm. And you can probably just use him in certain fixtures then when they're good. But again, I think the issue with Tarkowski is you've got Branthwaite, who's cheaper, 4.2,
yeah,
I think it is. And if you can save 0.4, you know, that can be very handy. And Branthwaite's shown himself that he's capable in the box. Very good player, very good attacking threat as well. So Tarkowski will definitely be a differential because most people will get Branthwaite, whether they're free hitting, bench boosting, or just using transfers because of budget. So very, very few will go Tarkowski. So maybe you might look at from that angle as a differential. But again, I don't like that there's a Liverpool fixture in there. If that was someone who wasn't in the top three or top four, I'd be a lot more interested.
Next name is Anderson, and I'll also mention Munez at the end, who's at the foot of this table, and I'll sort of lump them in together. Some people like me who are weird have still got Anderson from, I can't remember when it was, there was a good fixture run many moons ago. So he's still there in my team, but Munez is more the flavour of the month. So I'll read out their stats really. And Crystal Palace, remind people, have got West Ham and Newcastle, and they do have two good fixtures coming up. And then it fixtures turn a little bit, 32, 33, and obviously they double game week 34, West Ham, Newcastle at home. So Anderson, he's only 4.7. He's had 15 shots inside the box, created 14 chances, has scored a couple of goals and got a couple of assists this season, 6 clean sheets, West Ham and Newcastle. A lot of those attacking returns were early on, though. Munez at the foot of this table. He initially didn't. I sort of added him on because I think I did this for minimum 10 starts because it's all matches, and he missed out. So I sort of rectified that to get Munez in because he will be interested in more of an attacking role. 3 shots inside the box, 7 chances created from quite a limited amount of starts recently. And he has got an assist as well. So I think he'll be popular. Probably more popular than Anderson. But yeah, would you have one of the Palace defenders on your free hit or bench boost?
Yeah, I think Palace are attractive, especially now that there's a bit of a new manager bounce potential there as well. Munoz, I think a bandwagon is going to take off, and I think he's just going to increase massively in ownership. You know, he's already shown it in the Premier League in glimpses of what he can do in the final third. I think he scored 15 goals over 2 seasons at his previous club as well. So there's pedigree. He knows what to do when he gets the ball in the box. The fixtures are decent, you know, 2 home games. So whether, again, any strategy, whether it's buying him now or buying him in 34, I think it's worth paying the extra for Munoz over Chris Richards. Chris Richards, I think, is only 3.9. Again, he's going to be very attractive, in particular people trying to fit in all the big attackers. But to me, Richards is probably a 6-point ceiling most game weeks, whereas Munoz is a 15-point ceiling or maybe even more. Yeah. Maybe I'm getting a bit overexcited about him. It's a small sample size, but I really like what I've seen of him. And you know, we're getting towards the end of the season. You know, you want to own exciting, attacking defenders. Munoz ticks all those boxes. And I just want to mention as well, Tyrick Mitchell, we shouldn't forget him because he's played on the other side in a wing-back position. And he passed the eye test for me in the most recent Palace fixture. So there will be a lot of love for Munoz. But I think Tyrick Mitchell could be decent as well. He's going to pop up in good positions in that system. So yeah, Munoz for me is the pick of the Palace defenders.
Okay, next name is Senesi at Bournemouth. Now, currently injured, got a hamstring injury. He's flagged, he's yellow flagged, he's not red flagged, which would indicate he could be back at some point. I think it was after the internationals. We don't know when that will be, but he's worth monitoring maybe because he was to be the double game week Bournemouth defender to get in. And Bournemouth's fixtures are Aston Villa and Wolves away. So there's potential for clean sheets there. But Senesi, with 13 chances created, 5 shots inside the box, scored 3 goals, got 2 assists. His clean sheets got 4 of those as well. So I think he's just I can't imagine you're going to pick him because obviously he's injured at the moment. But he could be interesting on a free hit because we might know that he's back then.
Yeah, I mean, if we see him play a full 90 minutes before game week 34, he obviously comes into the thinking because we know he's, again, another centre-back who is dangerous in the opposition penalty area. He's shown that this season. So, but again, when you go through some of the other options we mentioned, I think other options are better in terms of fixtures. I don't like that it's 2 away fixtures.
Yeah.
I also just kind of avoided Bournemouth aside from Solanke in the last double, which worked out quite well. So I think I'll probably take a similar approach this time and just back some better teams, you know, higher up the table. So yeah, Senesi, I don't think I'll be going there.
Next two names, final two names in the attacking defenders for 34. One player that will be in many teams, one that won't be. Gabriel at Arsenal, both Arsenal players. Gabriel is 5.3. He's at 21 shots inside the box, a whopping 4 goals, and he's created 3 chances. Got Wolves and Chelsea, 9 clean sheets. Ben White is a bit more reliable for starts, 10 clean sheets. Obviously the same fixtures, Wolves and Chelsea. He's 5.7, so he costs more. But he's had 6 shots inside the box and 23 chances created. And he's had 7 attacking returns, 2 goals and 5 assists. I know I mentioned him in conjunction with my goals imminent video colleague, Tom Freeman, who's had him for a while. And he keeps getting all his differential points for Ben White. So I think that's something we're going to be facing. We've got Arsenal playing Wolves and Chelsea. For you're wildcarding now. So what are you thinking? You're thinking probably Saka, Gabriel, and you've got another space up for grabs. Do you go Odegaard or do you go Ben White perhaps?
Yeah, or do you go neither and just stick with 2 is what I'm thinking about possibly, and just keeping the door open for others, you know, Havertz, Trossard. You know, you never know what's going to happen in a couple of weeks' time. So Saka is someone I definitely want to own. Sold him recently, so I want to get him back. Fixtures don't really bother me with Bukayo Saka. Gabriel, again, brought him back a few weeks ago after selling him on the Game Week 20 wildcard. Fixed that mistake. And he's going nowhere. I just think he's an easy hold all season, regardless of fixtures, goal threat, clean sheet potential. Still very cheap as well if you don't already have him. You know, you can just buy him at 5.3. Absolutely fine. So, yeah, Gabriel, Saka are locked in, I think. Then it's a question of, is it just 2 or is it a Ben White or a Saliba or an Odegaard? And again, looking at the fixtures, I probably prefer the attackers at the moment. So Odegaard I like as a differential more so than a Ben White. But if I was going double defence, I think I'd be inclined to go White over Saliba now just for a bit more attacking potential. I know Saliba still offers plenty himself, but I think White's shown recently that he's been very good in the final third, you know, good deliveries, and he's getting those returns. So, yeah, I think White and Gabriel is probably my preferred double up now if I go defensive.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what I'm looking at for me because I'm just going to look at 34 with the transfers. I don't think I've got a space for another Arsenal attacker. So I've got Gabriel and I've got Saka already. So I think I'll probably go Ben White, but I'll probably hopefully leave that decision for a little while. Let's have a look at goalkeepers for 34. So yeah, this is for whether you're bench. Well, it's very vital if you're bench boosting because you want 2 playing goalkeepers, preferably with 2 fixtures each. It's good for free hitting because you want to get the best one. And it's good, especially good for you now because you've got your wildcarding, so you've got a plan for this and all the other fixtures in mind as well. So once again, I'll do the same thing. I'll go down the list and I imagine a lot of these you won't be interested in. Fodderingham at Sheffield United, got Burnley at home, that's okay, and then Manchester United away. He's best for minutes per save, a save every 20.4 minutes, but he's conceded 63 goals. It's cheap though, and only one clean sheet, so you're looking at save points there. I'm presuming you're not interested in Fodderingham, whatever strategy.
No, Chef. Is he even first choice anymore? They've got the Grubbage guy, don't they? So,
yeah, I don't think he is. Yeah.
Regardless of, I think if Joan Luigi Buffon in his prime was in goal for Sheffield United, I probably still wouldn't own them. So, skip that one.
No. Neto at Bournemouth. He has Aston Villa and Wolves. That doesn't scream clean sheets to me. He does have got six so far. His minutes per save every 23.6 minutes is pretty good, though. But he has conceded 45 goals, so not as much as the Sheffield United man. But that doesn't scream the best goalkeeper to get this week.
No, I don't. Again, if it's a bench boost 34 strategy, I don't mind Neto. Again, you're not really expecting clean sheets, but he's also usable beforehand because Everton at home, Crystal Palace home, Luton away for Bournemouth is not bad. But again, it's Bournemouth. I keep coming back to that. How much faith do you have in a Bournemouth team to keep clean sheets? And I certainly never have too much. So again, when I was building a bench boost 34 draft, which we'll look at soon, I really struggled with the goalkeepers and the defenders. Yeah. And it's another reason why it's pushed me towards free hit.
Yeah. Next name is Jose Sarr at Wolves. He costs a bit more, 5 million. Only conceded 40 goals, but it does have Arsenal at home and Bournemouth. I actually quite like him. Minutes per save every 27.1 minutes. So he's going to get save points in the Arsenal game. I expect him to concede. If he doesn't, he's going to have one of those worldy goalkeeper appearances. But I do think he's pretty good for definitely a bench boost. But could be a good free hit option with Bournemouth at home as well. So I know Bournemouth have Solanke, but I do like Wolves. I do like Sarr. So, yeah. And what do you think?
Again, yeah, an option which will be under consideration. I'm just kind of looking at the fixtures around it as well. Not too bad. You know, Villa, Burnley, West Ham, Forest, and Luton on the other side of it then, and a Crystal Palace in 37. So, again, it's not too bad. But, yeah, do you really want to own a Wolves goalkeeper, even for a free hit? I'm not so sure. So, I think for a free hit only, I would put Jose Sarr in that basket.
I'm going to do Henderson at Crystal Palace, but then I'm going to move down the list because I've sorted this by minutes per save at Johnston, because I'm not sure who's going to be playing because there's injuries. I don't know if there is. I mean, Palace fans will know when they're watching. Do leave any comments in the video chat as well of who is actually nailed on. But they have the best fixtures on paper, West Ham and Newcastle at home. Newcastle don't travel that well, but no clean sheets for Henderson. Johnston does have six. Henderson has a minutes per save of every 27.7 minutes, pretty good. But Johnston is every 43.7 minutes. But that's, I guess, mainly from the beginning of the season, more when there was a different setup. So it's hard. You've got to take all of these stats with a pinch of salt. But yeah, until you know who the Crystal Palace goalkeeper is, I think we've got to go for someone like Munez or Anderson or someone like that, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, Munoz, Anderson, Richards, Mitchell, give me any of those over a Palace goalkeeper. Any uncertainty whatsoever, I will just avoid. And I think I read that Johnston left the England camp with an elbow injury. They said it's nothing major. So again, there's just doubt there. Not a player that you can pick on a wild card this week or next week, I don't think. No.
Pickford is next in this list. Minutes per save, every 29.3 minutes. The surprise package of the season, really. Much maligned, but he's got 8 clean sheets. He only conceded 39 goals. He's got Nottingham Forest and Liverpool. So clean sheet potential in one, save potential in another. Nailed on, obviously. We don't really... I think of him as sort of a bench boost, really, but possibly a free hit as a differential. But other than that, I wouldn't want to keep Pickford in my team for too long.
Pickford's... someone needs to write a book about Pickford's FPL season. I remember at one point after, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 weeks, he was... There's 20 teams in the Premier League and he was ranked 21st for goalkeepers somehow. And then he became... the top scoring goalkeeper for a week or two, which is absolutely crazy. I think he's third at the moment. He's got over 100 points. So in terms of Pickford, yes, he's definitely an option. I think for I think for any strategy, I think a Sean Dyche goalkeeper is always an option in FPL, and he's relatively cheap. Next few fixtures, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Burnley, Chelsea. It's not terrible, particularly maybe if you are aiming towards a bench boost in 34, what you probably do is get two goalkeepers who rotate quite well beforehand and afterwards. And if you can get someone to go with Pickford and maybe not have to play him against Newcastle and Chelsea, 31 and 33, then he's attractive. And yeah, again, I don't love the Liverpool fixture, but, you know, saves possibly for Pickford in that one. And we know he'll certainly be up for a Merseyside derby. He'll have his crazy hat on, I'm sure, for that one. And, you know, could make 9 or 10 saves and pick up the bonus. So, and then a potential clean sheet at home to Forest. So Pickford's definitely in the running. And afterwards, after 34, he has Brentford, Luton, and a couple of other decent fixtures as well.
Next name on the list is Liverpool's Kelleher, who is stepping in for Alisson. He's only 3.8, or was when I think he still is. He's only conceded 7 goals. He barely played. But he's got Fulham and Everton away. He's had a couple of clean sheets and very limited 7 starts. Minutes per save, pretty strong as well, 31.5. That's strong for a keeper in a team with a good defence, a top team. That's very rare, as we'll see with Raya's stats in a sec. But yeah, if we get the nods that Alisson's definitely out still for 34, I mean, I've got him in my team and he's my top choice to play, because it's Liverpool and he's got Fulham and Everton. Well, he says clean sheets and save potential. So presumably he's probably pretty high in your list as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's very high, and he's probably one of the biggest question marks or headaches if you're wildcarding this week, because you don't have the information on Alisson. And is it worth the gamble to put him in and hope he's available? Now, this is probably with a bench push 34 in mind. Can you put him in and hope you have him for the double? And I think if you don't have the information, you probably can't do that. Mm. So again, it's probably another reason why I like free hit more than bench push, because in an ideal world, you have Kelleher for 3.8 million, you know, beforehand and on the bench boost. But until we have clarity on Alisson, you don't want a wild card now, get to 34, plan at the bench boost, and then think, I need to make a goalkeeper transfer here. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to make the cut on the wild card.
Final name on this is Raya at Arsenal. Yeah, he's got 9 clean sheets. He's only conceded 19 goals. Got Wolves and Chelsea, good fixtures. Nailed on in the league. But minutes per save every 58.2 minutes. And therein lies the problem with this type of goalkeeper. It doesn't matter how good they are. If they've got a good defence in front of them, they're not going to rack up those saves. But they do get the clean sheets. But then if you've got a team with Gabriel, Ben White in it, who are getting potential attacking returns as well, Ray is not going to get a look in. So I presume he probably wouldn't with you, which is probably a shame.
Yeah, I've owned Raya since game week 20 wildcard, so I've had, you know, about nine game weeks out of him. And my overall feeling is it's not much fun. You're getting 6 points most weeks max, which is obviously, if you can get 6 points often, it's great, which is often the case with an Arsenal goalkeeper. But I feel like freeing up that position for someone else, and then also freeing up, you know, an Odegaard or a Havertz or something like that, you know, more exciting. So I'm definitely not going to rule him out just yet, because I think there's certain scenarios where David Raya rotates quite well with a few other goalkeepers, maybe longer term in the season. And again, it's, I don't think having an Arsenal goalkeeper is ever a bad idea. So I think I had, you know, 0.1 or 0.2 tied up. So I actually haven't sold him yet, just in case I might keep him on the wild card. So he's in the conversation as well.
Rightio. So okay, let's imagine it's on the eve of game week 34. You're free hitting. Who is the best goalkeeper from what we know currently?
Free hitting in 34 goalkeeper, it's probably still David Raya, I think. Okay. I just, again, if we don't know about Liverpool, then yeah, default to Arsenal, I think, for a free hit goalkeeper.
But say we get confirmation that Alisson's still nowhere near,
then I think there's a good chance Kelleher comes in, and then instead of a David Raya, you get an Arsenal attacker, and just go for the upside.
I think so as well. Just get good players from good teams.
And again, you know, I would like to get a goalkeeper from who's not from Liverpool or Arsenal. To be able to chase the upside with the Liverpool and Arsenal attackers. But, you know, looking at the teams, Bournemouth, don't want a goalkeeper there. Palace, rotation concerns. Don't really want Sa. Pickford plays Liverpool. Sheffield United don't want them. So by default, I keep coming back to Liverpool and Arsenal for the goalkeeper for 34.
Okay. And this is probably the bit everyone's here for. is your wildcard team. So we did have your wildcard team last week. So do have a look at that. But obviously there's been some changes. There's now 1 million in the bank. So do you want to go through your wildcard team, which I guess will sort of sum up all that you're thinking and what your chip strategy will be with this team?
Yeah, so this draft I put together on Sunday, and it was very much with a bench boost 34 in mind. So that was my first port of call. Can I bench boost close to the wild card? I wanted to see what that looks like. So I'll run through this in a second. But my conclusion was the goalkeepers were tricky, the defenders were tricky. There was a lot of factors, which I've mentioned in this video, that I think I'm going to 34 free hit instead. Okay. And just bench boost in 37. But I wanted to, you know, run through this for people who are looking at a possible bench boost in 34. So there's 1 million in the bank. Mm. One of the big changes from last week is Haaland is in this one. I talked last week about possibly going without him. I've kind of come full circle now. And because there's so many cheap options available, regardless of strategy, I don't think you need to compromise on Erling Haaland. So audio listeners, this has a bench boost in mind. Kelleher and Petrovic as the goalkeepers. Gabriel, Gusto, Branthwaite, Ait Nouri and Chris Richard. So a very budget defence. Mm. And then big in midfield, Salah, Saka, Cole Palmer, Garnacho and Son. Mm-hmm. And up front, Haaland, Darwin and Solanke. So I think the midfielders and the forwards are straightforward. And there's lots of forward options to choose from. What I found was the defenders, I didn't love them for a bench boost, and I didn't love having so many of them beforehand. The big factor here as well, if you go Petrovic and Malo Gusto and Palmer, if you go triple Chelsea and you want a bench boost in 34, they're away to Arsenal in a single fixture. Mm. So straight away, that's not good. I don't like that. But I would like to have triple Chelsea or double Chelsea before and after. Mm. So again, that says, why not just free hit them out in 34 and have them before and after? And then, you know, Tottenham, only one Tottenham player here. And again, I'd like to have them maybe before and after. So maybe I load up now and then free hit them out in 34 when they don't have a game. So lots going on here.
I was going to say with this team, and if you were bench boosting in 34, and obviously Chelsea have a bad fixture in 34. Chelsea away to Arsenal. Manchester United are home to Sheffield United. So if you're wildcarding now with a view to bench boosting in 34, I think the Manchester United, so Garnacho is already in this, and I think you could play one of, or perhaps even both, of Onana and Dalot, for example, in the defence. I think they're quite handy players that you can bench some weeks. You can also play them when you need them. But also, I think they're quite good players to get in now for you if you're free hitting. Because you might want to keep them. But they're players you probably want in game week 37. Double game week 37. Manchester United have Arsenal and Newcastle at home. So maybe someone like Onana could be quite good for save points there. I got rid of Onana my game week 7, I think, wild card. And he was great before that. I'm an idiot for getting rid of him.
Yeah, so obviously this is very much a first draft of a bench boost 34. And when it came to the crunch, I wouldn't have triple Chelsea because I don't think it makes sense. Mm. And players like, you mentioned Dalot, even a Harry Maguire, if he's fit at a very cheap price, is attractive, not just for bench boost 34, but again for the Dublin 37. And Garnacho just ticks so many boxes. Yeah. I think regardless of what strategy you're using, Garnacho should be near the top of your list for transfers in. Mm. So yeah, again, I think I've just come to the conclusion, again, the video has probably just confirmed this for me, that I'm not feeling fantastic about a bench boost in 34 when I've had a play around with it. Mm. And I'm quite excited about the prospect of a free hit in 34. And again, having the information about the Liverpool guys, being able to cherry pick which Arsenal trio to go for, and then, you know, get a Munoz who's very exciting, but would like to have him maybe just for one game week rather than longer term. So yeah, I think I'm going to free hit 34, bench boost 37.
It's worth noting as well that the Manchester United Sheffield United game and the Brighton City game are the final two games of the game week. The final two games of the I think they are the final two games of the game week, because they've sort of got a blank as well as a single fixture that game, so they don't double. Judging by the way game week 29 went, full of surprises, I can see people free hitting maximum, getting the maximum of double game weekers, and they suddenly Haaland against Brighton, great fixture. Garnacho against Sheffield United, great fixture. I can see them either on the bench, well, not Haaland, but Garnacho on the bench. I can see them not being used, not being played at all by free hitters. And so I think that's going to be the narrative. It's going to be those single game weeks for those not free hitting in 34 against the free hitters who are going to be so tempted. But there is an option for people like you who considering free hitting in 34 to have Garnacho and Haaland and play them in 34.
Yeah, and it's, again, a good bit of advice is don't get blinded by the teams that play twice. You know, if you're looking at doublers from teams that are not very good, when you could have a very good Garnacho in the best fixture of the season, and, of course, an Erling Haaland against a Brighton team who keep very few clean sheets, then you don't need to have 11 double game weekers in your team. The one that always comes to mind for me is years ago when we had Harry Kane, Dele Alli, and Christian Eriksen, I think it was, three Tottenham players, played at home to Stoke in a double game week, only had a single fixture. But I kept all three, and I'm pretty sure they scored. Tottenham scored four goals in that game, and all three players delivered. So don't load up. You don't have to load up with 11 double game weekers. Yeah. Don't ignore the good picks. We said Garnacho, you know, Rasmus Højlund, Bruno Fernandes, Marcus Rashford. That is a fixture that could be 4-0 or 5-0. Yeah. So don't ignore them as the advice.
Yeah, definitely. I just looked at the fixtures again. I was right. In that game week 34, on Wednesday evening, 8 o'clock, Manchester United, Sheffield United. Thursday, 8 o'clock, Brighton host Man City. Those free-hitting maximum are getting their 11 double game weekers. Say they haven't delivered. Those going into those both Manchester clubs games at the end of the season, you're going to be missing out on them. So that is could be their chance to shine. As you said, there could be a Stoke v Spurs moment there. Lots to consider. I know when there's lots of strategies there, so it's good that you've got a sort of helping out those bench boosting in 34 in mind, but also probably with you're going to be free hitting. Just before we go, is there any sort of final thoughts between it? Because there's quite a lot to take in with all these double game week announcements.
Yeah, it's I think just the main conclusion for me is, and I think most people will be the same if they wildcard 30 or 31, what they probably will feel better about a free hit in 34. Now I know it's not ideal bench boosting so far after a wildcard, but again, what I want to try and remember is I don't like the bench boost chip. I never get much from it. I don't value it very highly. And I feel like a free hit you can get a lot more from, you can benefit a lot more from. And I like the idea of a free hit in 34 when everything is still on the table in terms of the Premier League and positions and Champions Leagues and relegations. Whereas when we get to 37, a couple of things could be, you know, sewn up and we could see more rotation. So yeah, I feel like if I value the free hit chip higher, I want to play it earlier when everything is still in play.
Yeah. Well, good luck with your final tweaks to your wild cards, and also whatever decision you come to for 34 when we get to that stage. Just a final reminder, people, do press that like button. It helps us out. Do subscribe to keep up to date with our videos and podcasts. And check out membership offers at fantasyfootballscout.co.uk as well. In the meantime, Mark, thanks a lot for your time. Take care. I'm not around next week, but I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Cheers, Joe. Talk to you soon.